are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Misogyny, hypocrisy, tribalism, oh my. And a milk toast from Maine, all but ensuring the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Oh yeah, and the president has serious new tax fraud charges lodged against him. Otherwise, a pretty quiet week. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Berkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. Hyperbolic? I think not. And we're taking it all on. Are you listening live? It is Friday, October 5th, a special time, 2 p.m. out west, 4 p.m. central, 5 o'clock here in the east, number in motion 347-857-4505, because we were waiting for Susan Collins to pull that darn Band-Aid off and acknowledge that she indeed intends to vote yes to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court come tomorrow, I believe, when the vote actually takes place. We'll talk about it indeed. If you're listening live, we have a whole lineup of ways to reach us. The phone line, of course, 347-857-4505. Also, our social media platforms, the PopNet chat box, our Facebook page, and the 24/7 Twitter feed, which allows you to chime in with comments and concerns, live or on podcast at AB Writes. The whole darn thing is being helmed by our hardy, tenacious TCS crew. He said, let's do a show. They don't care what time it is. They're always at the ready. It's Trudy and Aurora in the booth, ML at headquarters. Show today is being brought to you in part by Panera. It's the way food should be now delivered. Also by Old Navy, time to fall in for great style and savings at Old Navy, and our pals at PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation. They're up and running 24/7, featuring select editions of the Amy Beth Berkley Show, and those robust, yeah, I know, we've crossed the line several times in just a couple of days, the raucous roundtables, including one this morning. Oi, hey, let's get started, won't you? You grab yourself a cup of coffee, or maybe a cocktail, hey, whatever works for you, because it looks like red or blue, neither side is backing down. Get started. Happy to have you aboard here on the Amy Beth Berkley Show.
I'm
that's a groove.
When I was a little boy,
when I was just a boy,
the devil called my name.
When I was just a boy,
I say now, who do?
Ooh.
Who do you think you're fooling?
When I was just a boy,
I'm a consecrated boy.
When I was just a boy,
singer in Sunday choir. Oh, my mama loves me, she loves me. She gets down.
Between the Lines and Paul Simon's classic Love Me Like a Rock. I'm Amy Beth Arquisha. We'll send them out to Celeste via Twitter. Appreciate your kind and yes, concerned words. Taking it on, Celeste. Believe me, we are. Tom Petty, too. I Won't Back Down. There's your rallying cry. Don't rely on your neighbors. Don't rely on the polls to tell you anything about a blue wave. You don't like what's going on with this Kavanaugh confirmation. You don't like what's going on in politics today. You've got to get out there and vote. Drag your neighbors. Drag your friends. And go to the polls November 6th. More on that as we go. Speaking of Tom Petty, it's hard to believe we lost the iconic rocker just about a year ago, October 1st, 2017. And we say goodbye to Marty Balin, one of the founders of the Jefferson Airplane. Interesting guy. I had a chance to interview him some years back. We'll pay a little tribute to him later on today as time permits. We got lots to get to with this whole Kavanaugh confirmation controversy. And boy, Susan Collins, it took her a while to pull that Band-Aid off, didn't it? Getting to, yes, the long road home. But one thing she didn't address was Kavanaugh's temperament and his tirade last Thursday, which, according to former retired Justice John Paul Stevens, disqualifies him. Stevens was speaking out yesterday and said, you know, I thought he has the bona fides, the education, the background, the track record as a federal judge. I thought so anyway until his tirade and the fact that he was so partisan and so unstable. How come nobody mentioned that on the Republican side? I don't get it. But anyway, Collins is, as we know, she had her chance to have a Margaret Chase moment and stand up. No, not so much. We did have a few profiles in Courage. Heidi Heitkamp, the Democrat who was, in all fairness, losing ground in her reelection bid in North Dakota, but she said yesterday, I cannot do it. I can't look myself in the face in the mirror in the morning. It's not a political decision. Had she voted yes, she might have helped her cause, but she's out. We'll see how it goes in the reelection, but she's definitely voting now. And Lisa Murkowski, the fierce Alaskan senator, also said, no, I just can't do it. She said, I believe Kavanaugh is a good man, but he's not the right man for the court at this time. And she admitted herself to having a Me Too moment, as so many people have come to the fore to say they've had. And I know so many friends and so many clients who've said it. And I've had a couple of near misses, which pale in comparison. But I will tell you, when you've come close to something that's scary, it is seared into your brain. So imagine going through it and the trauma that's attached to it. Some of the facts, some of the details may be fuzzy, but something happened. And what they try to use, and we heard this from Senator Collins today, is what I call easy cover for the GOP. They like to say, oh, we believed her, we found her compelling and credible, something horrible happened to her, but there's just not enough proof that it was Kavanaugh. So you want to have it both ways. And that, to me, is easy cover, an easy way to give themselves an out to vote yes and to maybe get a good night's sleep. I don't know. But I believe that most of those senators that have really thought about it believe he did something, and they just don't care. And that's the problem. They just don't care. It's contemptuous, and it's a sorry day in America. And for generations to come, as this guy is going to get to the court and shape jurisprudence for generations to come. Pretty scary stuff indeed. Hey, let me hear from you. I got a lot of folks lined up here, so let's get to it. Twitter feed is AB Wright. Phone line is 347-857-4505 should you find yourself listening live on Friday, October 5th. We also have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box open. Everybody's got something going, so let's get to it here on Facebook. Peter writes in. I thought this was fascinating. And by the way, don't you remember the op-ed that Kavanaugh just penned yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, kind of a sort of not quite apologizing for his temper tantrum on Thursday by saying he got too emotional because it was just he was under fire and he was looking at it as a son, a father, and a husband. So, you know, kind of forgive me, although he didn't quite say it that way. And very sanctimonious, very self-serving, but saying that really my record shows that I am an impartial jurist. Susan Collins bought it, and I guess Joe Manchin, too, by the way, is kind of a dino, a Democrat in name only. He took cover to become the 51-49 vote that looks like, again, it's official. The official vote will take place, we believe, tomorrow. Anyway, Peter on Facebook, he says, I went to school with guys like Kavanaugh. They were smart, athletic, connected guys from rich families who assumed that exceptional levels of success were in their future. Why wouldn't they? Life was about bonding with the guys and checking off the boxes, and girls were trophies. It wasn't about having a girlfriend. It was about collecting pelts. Maybe he grew up and learned better, married a woman who made him a better man. Maybe not. But did he try to rip off that girl's clothes at the party, spike the punch at frat parties, and otherwise act like a pig? I'd bet the house on it. I'd also bet that every senator without exception suspects the same. This isn't about Kavanaugh anymore. It's about proving that they can put anyone on the Supreme Court they choose, and if you don't like it, all the better. Wow. Pretty profound, pretty deep, Peter, and I think you're right. They don't care. And this is what happened with Donald Trump. He dug his heels in, and this is what incensed me the most. It is beyond Kavanaugh. It's the idea that the Kavanaugh situation, when people say, well, Kavanaugh's life is in tatters, both people were, you know, put on trial essentially, and their families are ruined. Well, he's not ruined. He's going to get to the Supreme Court. He's going to weather it just like Clarence Thomas. But yes, he took a lot of hits. And his family, and I feel for his wife, I feel for his parents, I feel for his daughters, of course. And I feel for him, too. But you know what could have avoided it? He should have withdrawn the nomination 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's when all this came out. President Trump should have withdrawn it under any other president, Republican or Democrat, that would have been withdrawn, and we would have seen somebody else, some other conservative name in play. So when my liberal friends got on their high horses, I always said, yeah, but we're going to get another conservative. But the point is, this guy was tainted at this point, and it should have gone to the next person on the list. So what if it's delayed a couple of weeks, a couple of months? They're going to hold on to the Senate, maybe now more than ever. I don't know. You know, again, what's going to happen in the political wind? That's why I say, if it matters to you and you're ticked off on the progressive side, which most folks who listen to the show are, not everybody, but most, get out there and vote. And whoever vote, I mean, that's the point. That's our right. If more people voted in 2016, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. So don't just let it slide or act like it doesn't matter or they're all the same. This is what got us into this stew. So let's get ourselves out of it. And the only way to do it is to really exercise our own votes and do the right thing. But they could have gone to somebody else. They had time. It might not be by the midterms, but to get somebody confirmed. But there's somebody else on the list who we would all, on the liberal side of things, find equally deplorable in terms of the ideology and hold our nose and hold our breath and hope that maybe they'll be reasonable and judicious. But they wouldn't have this big fat cloud over them, which this guy has. And so much has come out about him that is really is enraging, because it just shows a pattern of male entitlement that cuts bond party lines. It has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. It's this notion of somebody in a certain status of society who just assumes that things will be handed to him. And I mean him. And that is a real problem. And it's despicable when you see people, particularly women, standing up for that. But look at President Trump the other day at the rally that he was at in Mississippi when he went so low and mocked Dr. Ford. Remember last week when he was saying, hey, she's a credible top slight person. I mean, that was so uncharacteristic for him. He couldn't hold that, of course. At his rally, he goes into this thing about how inconsistent her story was and nothing. She doesn't remember anything except that she had one beer. Mocked her completely. It was disgusting. But what he also did was launch this new thing they're calling the He Too movement, where it's scary to be a young man now in America because you could be falsely accused. And by the way, being falsely accused is horrible, and it does happen. But it happens very rarely because so many people don't report actual cases of sexual assault or attempted sexual assault. So to make up them into gin-up claims, yes, it does happen, and when it happens, it's horrific, because having something, a horrible act committed against you is disgusting. The second most disgusting thing is to be accused of something like that. So I agree with that, if that happens, but it doesn't happen all that much. They're trying to put it again, the equal false equivalence, that it happens just as many times. People, it's like when Fatal Attraction came out, every guy was so worried about a psycho girlfriend. Well, there are psycho girlfriends, but their statistics prove there are more psycho boyfriends than men who stalk and pursue violence against women. That's just the way it is, people. So to pretend there's a false equivalency is ridiculous and patently unfair. But the worst thing that Donald Trump did, he invoked the mom card. Did you see a little display? I only watched, you know, I can only take so much of it, so I saw a smattering. But he actually says this thing about a guy who's doing well. You're so proud of your son, moms, and you bring him up right, and he goes to all the good schools, and he gets a good job, and then he comes back, and he says, oh, Mom, so proud of me. And I said, Mom, something horrible happened, Mom. I got accused of something. Somebody who don't even know accused me of something terrible, Mom. Now I'm going to lose my great job. What am I going to do, Mom? He kept saying that. This guy is a master of neuro-linguistic programming. He is lulling that crowd, many of whom are women, into thinking that, yeah, your sons are now going to be targets. And that, to me, is outrageous. And I say, how low can this man, who, God help us, is still in the presidency? Oh, I want to hear from you. Reach out. Twitter feed AB Rights. Phone line 347-857-4505. I think maybe that's our Kelly show.
Every limbo boy and girl, all around the limbo world, gonna do the limbo rock. All around the limbo clock, Jack be limbo, Jack be quick, Jack go on the limbo stick. All around the limbo clock, hey, let's do the limbo rock.
Something happens that I can't explain. when I hear your name. But you can't help it that you're always chasing rainbows in your mind. There's so much I want to say to you, and there's so little time. Hey, little woman, please make up your mind. You've got to come into my world and leave your world behind. Come on now.
Na 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 na.
You've got to
come down from that cloud, girl, and leave your world behind.
What do you see when you're walking down a busy street and I'm not there? Is my picture hanging in your mind, walking with you there? That's how it is in my world, girl. You're with me all the time. Why don't you come into my world and leave your world behind? Hey, little woman, please make up your mind. You've got to come into my world and leave your world behind. All right now.
Na 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 na.
Come down from that cloud,
girl, and leave your world behind.
All right now.
Na 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 na.
You've got to
come into my world and leave your world behind.
Come on, girl.
This confirmation process has become a national disgrace.
They told me they'd confirm me by October. But some people have a grudge.
Revenge on behalf of the Clintons.
I'm pious and I'm righteous and I'm sober. As a well, not Mark, but some other judge. Discrimination, man, that's the worst. I mean, it was fine at first, but then they got it reversed. I'm a white, indignant male person. W-I-M-P. Lord, why me? How dare you question a Yale elite? Why don't you all sit down and give me my seat? I'm a white, indignant male person, W-I-M-P. I'm a choir boy, I'm a Boy Scout, I'm a virgin, neener, neener. When did it all start going south? I drink beer, so what? I like beer. It gives me a meaner demeanor. But I don't need beer to foam at the mouth.
You're asking about, yeah, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
No one knows all the woes of the majority. All the burdens of authority. That's why I got me all these belly aches.
If I'm known to have a weak stomach.
No one fights for the rights of the privileged. And now I gotta give a legitimate reason why I should have all the breaks. Oh, for goodness sake. It had breathed in just before I knocked back another brewski or ten.
I still like beer.
I pray the Lord to set the cosmic clock back to when all people meant all white men. Now how am I expected to rule the earth if I'm given only what I am worth? I'm a white, indignant male person. I got the blues and they could worsen. I paid my dues and no one reimbursing this W-I-M-P.
Busted my butt in school.
Poor me.
Captain of the varsity basketball team.
Poor, poor me. Another beer.
It's time we opened up a can of whoop-tushy on this situation.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa.
Revitalize the Helen Reddy early 70s anthem, I Am Woman, on the Amy Beth Orgway Show for Cindy and for Kate. Happy to have you guys aboard. Also, Roy Zimmerman, the troubadour, the social political satirist, white indignant male person, a.k.a. wimp, taking on the Kavanaugh confirmation. Bobby Sherman, the very sexist but catchy early 70s tune, Little Woman. And Chubby Checker, How Low Can He Go? Limbo Rock. How low can they go? Both Kavanaugh and President Trump, two political peas in a pod. Pretty low, that's for sure. Although I will say that President Trump not really aligned with Kavanaugh on the whole drinking thing. During when you see he kind of uneasy in the press conference earlier this week when he said, but he was honest about his drinking. He had kind of a problem there because Trump said himself, I never drink, never had a drink in my life. Of course, it was one of the few endearing moments about Trump when he says, can you imagine what a mess I'd be if I had? But, of course, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, because his older brother, Fred, died due to alcoholism. So he's kind of against that. Speaking of Fred, there's some murky stories about the whole family and the finances and big taxation problems, which sort of came out this week as a afterthought story of the New York Times, but the failing New York Times, as Trump likes to say. Decades-long tax fraud. Shocking, isn't it? More on that later as time permits, as they say. Hey, reach out. I want to hear your views. I know people are incensed and worried about this whole Kavanaugh confirmation thing. Fix seemed to be in when the FBI reopened their investigation, a week-long pause, instigated by Arizona Senator Flake, Jeff Flake, who is leaving and was so tortured with his conscience and decided we need a week-long pause. But what happened with this flimsy, very limited investigation where they didn't even bother to talk with Dr. Ford or Judge Kavanaugh and a lot of other people that came forward and just talked to the people of the Senate and the White House put before them. He voted yes unless something big happens. So I said, women in Washington, D.C., they can't go to Arizona because the vote is tomorrow, right? Anybody around, follow into an elevator. Maybe something big can happen again. You never know, but it doesn't seem likely. That's for sure. All right, let's go around the social media horn. Lots of folks chiming in on this. Oracle said Susan Collins just kissed Kavanaugh's ass longer than the FBI investigated him. yeah, I guess so. Leslie says, okay, Senator Collins, enough already. Kavanaugh will never be another RBG, and you will never be employed by the U.S. government again after we make sure that we vote your sorry ass out. It's interesting because one could say maybe she is actually voting with her conscience, because a poll taken in Maine indicates that I think 54% of voters would prefer the no vote. Most people in Maine don't want Kavanaugh confirmed, at least according to the polls up there. So just like Murkowski and Heidkamp, who stood as symbols of conscience, maybe you could say that, yes, this is really Susan Collins' honest assessment of the situation, and she's voting her conscience. But I don't. If you're trying to go with what your voters really don't want you to stand before this guy. And she never addressed the tirade of the tantrum. She left that one out. She talked about his judicious cases, his records. She portrayed him as a centrist, which he is clearly not. The right wing want him because he's definitely one of theirs. But ideologically, again, this has really come down to it's beyond ideology, at least the way that I look at it, because we know that whoever they're going to pick is going to be combed from the Federalist Society list. And there are other people on that list who I would equally not like and find deplorable in terms of their ideology and which way they may swing the court in terms of the decisions, but who I might say at least they have some kind of a fiber of character there that I could accept. It's just like with, you know, when I say I didn't find President Bush as deplorable as a human being as I find Trump. It's a very low bar, but that doesn't mean I thought he was a great president. So I'm not saying I would think the next person on the list would be a great Supreme Court justice, but at least he or she might have a character that you could say, at least they're a decent human being. I cannot say that after what we learned about Kavanaugh this week, and not just the alleged offenses in high school and college and the lying, but the tirade and the temperament is strongly in question, regardless of what his quote-unquote record may or may not be, and how well Collins may or may not have presented it on the judicial the federal bench. That's my take on it. I don't know about yours. I kind of know about yours, but I'd like to hear it anyway. Twitter feed, Amy Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Facebook page is open. PopNet chat box is open, too. Susie says in Australia it's already tomorrow. In Europe it's already tonight. And in USA it's currently 1928. Ouch, I know. It's tough to believe that we are rolling ourselves back. But what we can do is say we have to move forward. We have to look at this as a time to have a national conversation, which is always a good thing. So when people say Christine Blasey Ford for coming forward was all in vain, I say no, not so. She was very courageous in coming forward. She let other people speak their truth and get their stories out and tell people for the first time in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years in some cases. I mean, look at all those famous people that are coming out. Connie Chung had an op-ed piece, I think it was in the Washington Post, somewhere this week, talking about an incident that happened to her like 50-some years ago. So all of these things are coming to the fore. People do not admit it. They don't confide in people. They haven't. But maybe now they will sooner, and that's the point. Even Kellyanne Conway, who claims that she's also been a victim of sexual abuse, and again, I will never tell anybody or doubt anybody regardless. It has nothing to do with ideology anyway. But her reaction to Dr. Ford and the convenient way she throws around facts in general might question her. You know, she's doing things conveniently. What did she come out yesterday, the other day, and say in reaction to President Trump and his deplorable behavior with the mockery of Dr. Ford at the rally in Mississippi, that it was perfectly fine, and she was just questioning the facts. And after all, they've treated everybody, all the Republicans, the Senate, the President, everybody has treated Dr. Ford as a Fabergé egg. And as the great Chris Cuomo said on CNN that night, which I thought was spot on, he said, all Kellyanne Conway did was add another layer to the lasagna of lousy. I love that line. So you got to find some humor where you can, but you got to be spurred to action, of course, as well. And I just, it's crazy. Really reprehensible. Okay, let's go to Twitter. Trudy, can we do that? Let's see what other people are saying. Who's running for Collins' seat in 2020? Asks Indy. Sounds like she's making a retirement speech on the floor right now. I guess that one came up while she was talking. Black is the New Black says, hey, Susan Collins, just spare us the boring lecture on how you rationalize your yes and get to the point. I was saying that, too. I kept saying, pull the freaking Band-Aid off already, lady. You know, it's just crazy. And Rebecca says, does Collins think people will give her a pass just because she made a big old speech about why she ignored her inner humanity? Because guess what? We won't. And Howard says, well, it's a wrap. Collins did the deed. Indeed she did. No Margaret Chase moment for her. Now on to the Supreme Court. Will be Judge Brett Kavanaugh, so it seems. They'll vote tomorrow, and it seems unless something earth-shattering happens, it's all but a done deal. In the meantime, who's next? And will Trump have a third pick on the Supreme Court? Well, it could happen, but they'll be busy keeping themselves alive. Here are the cap stats on the Internet Dark Media Show.
As you know, Justice Kennedy has announced his retirement from the Supreme Court. Democrats are worried that with the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, the court will take a swing to the right. As you recall, Barack Obama appointed Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, two of the youngest members of the court. But it was of great concern to many Democrats that these other two liberal justices were getting pretty old. So now there's a concern that these justices are holding on to their jobs longer than they should. But don't believe that. They're as spry as ever. And to prove it, the four liberal members of the Supreme Court have formed a fantastic singing group. You've heard of the Supremes. This is not them. Please welcome the disco stylings of Justices Sotomayor, Breyer, Ginsburg, and Kagan.
Well, we're a bit concerned to tell the truth about the health of Stephen Roof.
Getting old.
So few friends.
Our legal briefs are now depend.
Are they all right? Are they ill? Don't give Trump more seats to fill. If the court starts to sway, even atheists will pray.
Long as he is ruling, Justice Breyer can keep ruling. Gotta keep him alive.
Keep him alive.
Older than you're thinking, Ruth, baby, said ain't blinking. Gotta
keep him alive. Keep him alive.
Eh?
Oh.
Oh, oi.
Keep him alive.
You know, I feel pretty good myself. Got a brand new expensive hearing aid.
Oh, what kind is it?
It's about 815, 820.
Well, you can say she's a youthful 83, but Ruth has bras as old as me.
Is Breyer older than he seems? His pacemaker runs on steam.
Well, I'm all right. I feel great with my grapefruit-sized prostate.
The derivatives will fight them in the way that they will fight them.
Staying alive, staying alive.
Moving like a tortoise, well, it might be rigor mortis, but they're
staying alive, staying alive.
Ha, 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 ha. Shoo!
Oh, I think I broke my habeas corpus.
Words ain't worth no more than worn out tires.
sweating on getting it started straight. All men,
all men,
all men are liars.
Their words ain't worth no more than worn out tires.
Hey girls,
girls,
bring rusty pliers to pull this tooth.
All men are liars,
and that's the truth.
You are a bully, and you're spoiled, and for some reason you have been given a pass on rude behavior, but I won't put up with it.
I was a teenage monster.
Bang! Bang!
I was a teenage monster.
Bang! Bang!
In your car or lying on the beach with your Walkman on, please sing along on this song. It'll help you with your male bonding kind of thing. And to help you, I've rounded up every sensitive guy I could find in New York City tonight. So you just sing along with them, please. Don't be shy. Who likes to talk about their feelings?
Sensitive New Age guy.
Who's into crystals, into healing?
Sensitive New Age guy.
To dress like Richard Simmons.
Sensitive New Age guy.
Who are hard to tell from women.
Sensitive New Age guy.
Who like to cry at weddings. Who think Rambo is upsetting. Who tapes 30-something on their VCRs. Who's got child on board stickers on their cars. Ooh.
Sensitive New Age guy.
Whose consciousness is constantly raising.
Sensitive New Age guy.
guys don't know who plays in the Seattle Kinghawks. Guys not into brutal, violent contact sports. Why? Let's ask these sensitive guys right here. Hey, guys. Do you know who plays in the Seattle
Kinghawks?
Oh, good answer, good answer. Who likes music that's repetitious? You guys said you'd help me out on this song.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, we're sensitive, Christine.
Well, not that sensitive.
Well, I guess it's more important that they have a
sensitive new age guy
who carries the baby on his back, who thinks Shirley MacLaine is on the inside track, who always sings on sing-alongs even when they can't stand stupid sing-along songs. I could tell a lot of you guys out there really hated this song. Not all of you sang, but a lot of you did because it was a sing-along and you didn't want to hurt my feelings.
Didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Because you know what that's like. Because you've had your feelings hurt so many times because you're so sensitive. Yes, you're sensitive.
The great Christine Lavin, the classic sensitive new age guys, the old version, because you know it's dated when you're taping 30-something on their VCR. That one for Millie on the Amy Beth Arkoui Show. Also, digging deep in the archives for a Halloween Forgotten 45 from the Ketones. Trudy found it for you, Lana. I was a teenage monster, sent out especially to Bart O'Kavanaugh. We hear you. Tongue firmly in cheek, Nick Lowe, or was he, with All Men Are Liars and the Capitol Steps, having some fun with the longevity of Justices Breyer and Ginsburg. Hang in there. Keep them alive. It is the Amy Beth Arkoui Show. Lots of folks chiming in our late special Friday edition. Around the social media horn we go on the Facebook page. Ivy is chiming in, and she says, bravo to Senator Heidi Heitkamp, standing up for what's right, a great risk to her political life. He says, I just donated. Let's throw our support behind senators and House members with a conscience, regardless of the political decision there. Anyone with half a brain can see that Brett Kavanaugh is ill-suited for the Supreme Court. Thank you, Senator Heitkamp. It may be in vain, but it still matters to make those gestures. I agree with you on that one for sure. Hey, Brittany on Twitter says, don't worry, boys, go ahead. Rape whoever you want while you're young. They will never be able to prove it. You can still do anything you want, be anyone you want. POTUS, SCOTUS, have at it, boy. Susan Collins just gave you the green light. Charles says, and y'all thought there was going to be a blue wave before today. Just wait until November. Everybody's going under. I hate those kinds of – I like the sentiment behind it, Charles, don't get me wrong, but I don't want people to be lulled into complacency. When they talk about a blue wave, the polls are tightening. A lot of people say there's a red momentum, where the red meat to the base that Trump keeps throwing out with the He Too movement, et cetera, that will cause stir on the right side. And guess what? I hope that – I don't hope that he's right, but I hope that you realize it's possible so that the blue wave goes on. Get out the vote. Don't be complacent. Don't sit by and say somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else will take care of it. Let's not have a repeat of 2016, okay, where the poll said one thing – and the results were something different, because we can control it, and the only way to do it is to get yourself to the polls and get your friends, your loved ones, get moving, and make sure, take a look. I posted on social media yesterday, we'll do it again this weekend, because it's coming up in the next week or so in most states, the date, you know, the last-ditch date to register to vote for the midterms. It's early October, and we're already at October 5th. So look at your state. If you're not registered yet, make sure. Check your registration. Make sure your registration is intact. You know where you're supposed to go. And if for some reason you're not registered, get going and do it now, because there are a couple of states where you can actually do it on the date of, which I think should be always that way, but a lot of states you can't. You got to do it ahead of time. So please check and make sure. We'll repost it for you on Facebook, on Twitter, etc. But do your homework. Do your due diligence and make sure that you can do it. Carla retweets Malcolm Nance. I love Malcolm Nance. He is the former CIA operative. He's written a couple of books, frequent contributor to MSNBC and other places, analyzes the whole Russia deal and everything else. He says, 31 days to the end of American democracy, we must vote at 2016 presidential levels. I say, Malcolm, we got to vote at higher levels than that, because it was not as much as we should have back then. Everyone has to vote. The end of our republic is one step closer. You must march, voice your protest, stand and save America. Please do it. Confirmation, Kavanaugh confirmation is a problem. Retweet if you can. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Alan says, Kavanaugh confirmation, there are other qualified to have that job than one person under examination. Insisting on him shows utter lack of regard for law and the will of the people. The fact, it does not have to be him. That's what I've been saying, Alan. I know they're going to have another ideologue. There are plenty to choose from. Why him? Because Trump dug in. Because Trump wants this guy, because he thinks Trump will Kavanaugh will protect him as far as the presidential powers. I'm not even so worried about that, frankly, because I believe there are other justices on the court. One justice can't determine it unless you've got four other people who are going to go along with you, as far as that goes. But ideologically, there's so many other people that are on the same page that have already been vetted by the Federal Society and other conservative groups that have put out the list that got this guy elected to presidency because we were all looking the other way and pulling a Susan Sarandon nonsense with head in the sand routine in 2016. So there are other people. I agree with you on that one, Alan. That's what I wanted to say. As I get crazy myself. 347-857-4505 if you're listening live, our special live late edition, October 5th. Otherwise, it's Twitter feed, AB Wright's phone, the Facebook page, and, of course, the PopNet chat box, too. Yes, that's what we're saying. So in the middle of all this, a new report came out in the New York Times, extensive investigative reporting they've been doing for over a year on the whole tax schemes of the Trump family that's been going on for decades, hiding money, grifting, all that kind of stuff, which, frankly, people in New York, I think, knew about it for years, that this guy sort of stoked this myth that he was a self-made billionaire because he got a small loan from his father of $1 million. First of all, that's not really a small loan, especially in 1970s standards, but besides which, it was a lot more. It was more like $413 million with many bailouts and all kinds of carve-outs and schemes and scams and all kinds of stuff going on. The bad news is most of the criminal possibility of criminal prosecution is long gone with statute of limitations, although civilly they could be charged if the state of New York wants to pursue it. We'll see if that goes on. But in the midst of all this, the Kavanaugh thing has, you know, trumped, pun intended, the whole story. But, yeah, the guy has been, Donald Trump and his whole family, taking the money and running for decades. Who knew? Shocking, right? Reach out, Twitter feed, AB Wright, phone line 347-877-4505. I'm Amy with Darkly Show.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. Get high and watch it too. And here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to Pueblo del Paso. I swear they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run. Yeah.
closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
I work in the sewer, it's a very hard job. You know they won't hire just any old slob. You don't have to wear a tie or a coat. You just have to know how to float. We sing the song of the sewer. Of the sewer, we sing this song. Together we stand, with shovel in hand, to keep things rolling along. I worked down a manhole with a guy named Bruce. and we are in charge of all the refuse. He lets me go first while he holds the lid. I'm telling you, geez, what a sweet kid.
We sing the song of the sewer. The sewer, we sing this song. Together we stand with shovel in hand. We'll keep things rolling along.
Ooh, 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 ooh. A funny thing happened to Bruce yesterday. The tide came along, he got carried away. He come out in Jersey, but it's okay now, 'cause that's where he lives anyhow.
We sing the song of the sewer.
Ooh.
Of the sewer, we sing this song.
We'll sing the song.
Together we stand with shovel in hand to keep things rolling along.
Billy Baba, Billy Baba, Billy Baba, home he. My father, he worked in a sewer uptown. I followed his footsteps and worked my way down. That's how I began in this here industry. I just sort of fell into it. He's lucky me.
We sing the song of the sewer.
Sing that song.
Of the sewer, we sing this song.
Oh, this is the song. Together we stand with shovel in hand to keep things rolling along.
Art Carney, a forgotten novelty 45 from 1955, an Amy Beth Arkowitz show, kind of sums up our social and political scene in 2018. Indeed. Boy, Trudy did root around the archives for that one. And a pair for the Trump family and their financial woes, or really are they woes? Because they've seemed to enrich themselves off the fat of the land for decades and have paid no price, or a very slim one, for sure, and no criminal penalties. The statute of limitations has certainly gone by the wayside. It's the money that matters from Randy Newman and Mark Knopfler and Steve Miller Band. Take the money and run. That's Trump's M.O., that one. For Odie, happy to hear from you via the PopNet chat box. Hey, thanks so much for chiming in real time. Very lively show all the way around the social media horn, especially when we have this special late edition of the show. That's what I meant to say. Don't forget, all the shows are archived for podcasts. You can follow the Amy Beth Arkowitz show and hear them anytime you want on the Blog Talk Radio site, on Mixcloud, on Stitcher, and iTunes, and NetNow. Also on TuneIn and Push Play. Spotify, I think. Anywhere you find your podcast, you can find it or request it. Select editions, too, on the Arts Radio Network and PopNet. All roads, of course, lead back to the website, Amy Beth Arkowitz, ArkAwy.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. That's the place to go to chime in with your guest suggestions, Forgotten 45, big story requests. Check out my stories. And also, of course, your inspiration to action challenge success stories, and if you need a little help in the right direction. So it's one-stop shopping. Today we're saluting Benny in Concord, New Hampshire, who says, dusted off a batch of short stories, needed serious revision, couldn't face it for over a year, but I'm into it now, knee-deep. She says, thanks to you and the challenge gave me courage, focus, and importantly, discipline. As you said, journaling along the way certainly has helped. So keep at it, folks. If I can do it, so can you. Hey, Benny, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. Hey, please keep going. Please keep us posted. And congratulations. And, yeah, you could do it, too. You can. And if you have a success story, I'd love to give you credit because you deserve it, and you're also spurring each other on. If, on the other hand, you need some help, you need some cajoling, you want to get out of that creative ditch, reach out. We'll give you a primer in the challenge, some other tips and tricks to get you on a more creative, joyful path. Do it at the website. It's Amy Beth Arkowitz, ArkAwy.com. Easy access, as we said, via the Twitter feed. And I'll tell you, getting that creative mojo back will give you the energy and the impetus to take action in other parts of your life. So if you're thinking the political scene needs your help, feeling better about yourself will certainly help you get there. That's what I can tell you from my own personal experience and those of my clients and friends. So get at it. If we can help you, I'd love to do it. Please reach out. Give me a week or two to connect. And we'll do it. Website again is amybetharkowitz.com. So as we mentioned at the early part of the show, we also lost an iconic rocker. Marty Balin passed away at the age of 76 earlier this week. He was a big force on the psychedelic 60s scene in San Francisco, started the Jefferson Airplane with Paul Cantor and others, and became a visual artist later on. You know, went through all the different incarnations of Airplane. It was Airplane and Jefferson Starship and just Starship. Bailed out at some point and came in and out of it for a couple of tries, I guess, and a solo career and an artist, too. I had a chance to interview him some years back on the radio. He was an interesting guy, kind of laid back. I guess I expect him to be laid back, given the 60s background and everything, but kind of nice and insightful about so many things in the art world and the music world. So we're remembering Marty Balin. This one, a song he co-wrote and sang lead on from the iconic 1967 album Surrealistic Pillow, She Has Funny Cars. Remembering Marty Balin on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Give it to me, you know, and they said, well, what do you do with it? And I said, well, I'll open a nightclub and put a band in it. You can have the nightclub. I'll take the band. And they said, okay. And so I went and found this bar that was kind of not doing too well during the weekend, and I went there every night. And so I told the guys, I said, I think if we got this place, we could, you know, have it here. So we got this place. We got their beer and wine license, and we started fixing it up, you know, painting it, and I did a bunch of paintings of old blues guys around the room, and Paul and I, we built this stage, you know, with a double tier on it and everything to raise the drummer up, and as we were building it, out of the woodwork, you know, coming over to see what we're doing was the Grateful Dead, the Janis Joplin, you know, the Steve Miller. I mean, there were all these other bands looking for a place to play. So, you know, it was just apropos in the right moment, and
what was the place called?
The Matrix.
Matrix.
It's called, and it's still there on Fillmore Street in San Francisco.
Same exact place.
No, no.
Okay.
It's much more fancy now. Upgrade. Yeah, ritzy. Those days it was hippie, though.
What was the pre-San Francisco scene like?
Well, God, you had all the great, you know, when I grew up as a kid in San Francisco, I mean, I was very fortunate. I got to hang out with Johnny Mathis and his brother, his younger brother, Ralph Mathis. He and I were buddies. So we hung out with Mathis, and we got to meet, you know, and go see, you know, Errol Gardner, Miles Davis, Nancy Wilson, God, I remember Mathis having a party and the Jazz Crusaders played during one of their first gigs, you know, and people like that, you know, and in San Francisco there was all kinds of great music going on, you know, plus there was a whole folk scene going on, plus there was all this great comics going on, you know, we had Lenny Bruce, you know, I remember seeing Lenny Bruce, my parents took me to see that, you know, yeah. You know, Mort Saul, you know, my dad was a big Mort Saul fan, you know, I mean, we had all these great things going on, you know, all the time in San Francisco.
But what was the, what do you think the spark, the culmination for the San Francisco scene was?
Something
happened, and basically, you, many others, it just exploded, and it took the country by storm, and the country basically followed.
Well, I think actually it was Acid. It was Acid and the Pill. They both came at the same time. Everybody was free. No, really, I think that had a lot to do with it, you know, because you'd be on the stage and, you'd feel this metallic taste, you know. And, you know, I used to go around with my little pint bottle in my coat, you know, because I was afraid to drink anything or leave it anywhere because I was getting ghosts every time I played, you know. And, you know, that's a long trip every day. you're playing on acid. You just open up and go and take off. And so we got into this jam band kind of idea, which happened in our music. And we just began to explore, you know, all these variations and varieties of playing the same songs, because we all knew how to get back to the song and how to get the one if we wanted to. In the meantime, anybody could start anything, anywhere, or begin it any way they wanted, and we all worked our way around into that song, you know. And that all came about purely, I think, because of the acid.
Only you.
believe in those wishful miracles of Marty Ballin on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, remembering the late iconic rocker who passed away earlier this week at 76, and that from the Starship days, Jefferson Starship days, and the Red Octopus album, remember that? Big hit, Miracles. Also, earlier from the iconic Surrealistic Pillow, circa 67, She Has Funny Cars, and of course, Marty talking about starting the whole trippy San Francisco rock scene in the interview. What a great guy. We remember him. The music spirit's on, indeed. Don't lose heart. Hang in there. Hey, big thanks. Love it in real time, especially since we have a special late time, which kind of makes me feel like harkening back to my old afternoon drive days. But thank you for the live conversation. Keep it going. You can connect via social media. Friend me on Facebook. Follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy. Follow me for the 24/7 conversation at AB Writes. And thank you to the TCS crew. They never ask any questions. If you want to do a show, we're ready, whatever the hour. Trudy and Aurora in the booth, MLA headquarters, thank you so much for keeping us moving. As I said, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. In the meantime, don't lose faith, don't lose heart. Handle yourself and each other with care. We'll leave you with Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins.
Been beat up and battered round, been sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation changeable, situation changeable.